On Facebook fam, we are back at it again here at Consensus 2017, and now we're joined by Jameson Lopp, who is a software engineer at BitGo. Great to have you here, Jameson.
Nice to be here.
Absolutely. How are you enjoying the conference so far?
Oh, it's been great. I love just seeing all these people that I interact with online that I only really get to see maybe once a year.
And speaking of interaction, you also moderated a panel a little bit earlier. Tell us about that. What was the topic of discussion? Did it get feisty, fiery on stage, or was it, you know, cool, calm, collected?
Sure. So, I mean, you could argue that the Bitcoin scaling debate has been happening for years and years, but it has mostly been simmering until about 2 years ago when it really started boiling over.
Ooh, yeah.
And so there's been a lot of vitriol, a lot of attacks on people's character, and, you know, social media, it can be really hard to be emotional and empathize with people. So I think it's great that we can continue these debates in person and be a little bit more calm and professional.
It's a little bit more civilized, yeah. When you're not behind the curtain tossing things. So that's great to hear. When we think about how we would describe blockchain to this next generation that's upcoming, how would you describe blockchain to a fifth grader?
Sure. Well, what are the fifth graders into these days? Pokemon, maybe?
Pokemon.
So let's say, you know, you've gone around and you've captured a lot of Pokemon, and you want to be able to trade your Pokemon with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you going to keep track of that? That becomes a real big question, especially when you're talking about money or anything of value. And so generally what we have done is we have a bank or some entity out there that is just keeping track of who owns what. So if you want to trade with your friend, then you're actually going to tell the Pokemon people that, hey, I want to trade Charizard for Squirtle. And they will take care of that on their end. And that probably works fine and well for Pokemon. But what if you have a super duper rare Pokemon that's worth $1 million, and you don't want to trust some third party who is potentially going to be able to steal them from you,
yeah,
and not perform that trade? So the way that we get around that problem is that instead of having a single entity that's keeping track, we instead say, okay, everybody is going to keep track of everything. So when you want to trade Charizard for Squirtle, you basically tell all of your friends who do Pokemon trading that, hey, myself and Alex are going to be doing this trade.
Yeah.
And then all of your friends say, okay, we wrote that down, and you're good to go. And
yeah,
we'll keep that, you know, history forever and ever, and if we ever need to go back and look at it, we can double check. And so it really just comes down to you have everybody checking each other's work,
yeah,
rather than really relying upon one person that you trust to not lie or cheat or steal.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about BitGo as well. You know, some of the work that you're doing, how it got its start. You know, tell us about that.
Yeah, so BitGo was started by Ben Davenport and Mike Belshi a number of years ago because they basically realized that they had all these Bitcoins and their friends had Bitcoins, and they were not very confident in how safe and secure they were. They were afraid they were going to get hacked. And so they decided to use what at the time was a very new piece of functionality in Bitcoin called P2SH, which allows us to do multi-signature securing and transacting of the,
yeah,
Bitcoins themselves. So basically, with the multi-signature, instead of just having a single key that unlocks your Bitcoins,
yeah,
we can use three different keys that you essentially have to use at least two of them in order to unlock the coins and move them around.
Yeah.
We make it safer by then making sure that those keys are on completely different computers.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you create a wallet at BitGo. It's a 2 out of 3 key solution. We hold a key, you hold a key, and then you have a third key as your recovery mechanism. So if somebody hacks you, they don't have enough information to steal your coins. If somebody hacks us, they don't have enough information to steal your Bitcoins. It's just much more secure by separating out this sensitive information.
Absolutely. And security, of course, a major concern. I mean, this conversation is lit, but this light is not, clearly. When you think about security of the overall blockchain, Bitcoin discussion and industry, how does security play into this overall discussion as well?
So security and usability, I believe, are like two of the biggest problems that are really holding back what I would call mainstream adoption. And the security is a really big problem because we like to say that Bitcoin is the slipperiest substance on Earth.
Yeah.
It's more slippery than Teflon. Like, if you lose your Bitcoin, you can lose it in a millisecond, and it is gone, and you can never get it back. There is no, you know, third party or auditor or authority that can retrieve your coins for you once they've been stolen.
So the same thing that could have been your benefit, which would have been the third party, is now actually kind of unfortunate that it's not involved in the conversation.
Yes, it cuts both ways. So, you know, the trade-off is you have the potential for a level of security that could never before be done, even with banks and financial institutions. On the flip side, you literally have to be your own bank.
Yeah.
So you have to be cognizant of the security and have the appropriate protections in place, because if there's a single crack, then the hackers will get in there and you will be out of luck.
Absolutely. Now, when we think about, you know, the next 12 to 18 months in this overall industry, what excites you the most right now?
Really, the biggest problem is what we've been debating.
The biggest problem is this night, right?
Yeah. Is that, you know, say that we can get security and usability at a manageable level where your average millennial can just pick it up and use it.
Okay.
Well, the problem then becomes, how do we actually support the entire world being able to use these systems? Because from a technical standpoint, they actually are a lot less efficient.
Yeah.
So we have to be a lot more creative in our solutions, of both how we write the solutions and how we deploy the solutions. There's many different facets to being able to upgrade these type of systems that no single person controls.
Yeah, definitely. So when we think about the next generation who might want to get into this industry, what piece of advice would you have for them?
You cannot learn too much before dipping your toes in. You know, I probably spent several months just learning about the system before I even got my first coins. Alternatively, a lot of people think that you have to, like, buy a whole Bitcoin or a whole Ethereum token or whatever. But these things are divisible to, like, 8, if not more, decimal places. So you can buy $10, $20, play around with it, not have to worry about the security, because you probably don't care if $20 gets hacked. So it's a matter of time and effort at this point, because there's a high learning curve.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to spend the time, then you can really start to see the value in the system that the average person might not quite get.
Absolutely, and considering the value of the overall ecosystem around blockchain, I'm certainly hoping that we have a lot of that next generation that is interested enough to make sure that we can continue advancing the conversation and the innovation forward, especially in this industry. Thank you very much for stopping by the Facebook Live
show
for a little bit, Jameson. And thank you all for watching live on Facebook. Stay tuned for more coming from right here.